The series we're in right now, you asked for it, was built on our Easter survey. Every Easter, we have a survey where we ask you, what do you want to hear me talk about? And I know some of you are thinking to yourself, well, isn't that your job? Aren't you supposed to pray and hear from God and then bring messages based on what you hear from God? And yes, that's the way we typically do it, normally do it around here. But even Jesus, if you follow the ministry of Jesus, oftentimes the messages Jesus would teach were in response to people's questions. And so I think it's important every once in a while to just ask people, what do you want to know? What do you want to hear about? What message is really resonating in your life? And I'm really proud of you as a church because one of the number one written responses, I think this was either number one or number two, is the most handwritten responses. A lot of it was just kind of check a box. We gave you some ideas. But then there were some lines where you could write out what you wanted to hear about. And either the number one or number two written response we got was, how do I hear God's voice? How do I know when God's speaking to me? And honestly, I'm really excited that you asked for that. First off, because it makes an assumption that God's still speaking. The very nature of this question assumes that God can speak to us, that God wants to be friends with us, that God wants a relationship in our life where we can communicate with each other. And it may not be this audible voice. It could be an impression on your heart or spirit that you line up to know whether or not it's God, but God still speaks. Dallas Willard, the author, in one of his books wrote, if God doesn't speak today, and there are people who believe that, people who believe that God doesn't speak anymore. Well, if he doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could do ever to people is tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God. If he doesn't speak, this is the biggest disservice we're creating. We're creating a frustration inside of people. The truth is God speaks and he wants an intimate, close friendship with each and every one of us. And this, in fact, is what sets Christianity apart from every other world religion. Every other world religion, in a nutshell, basically teaches you the same thing. Work hard, follow these rules, obey these commands, live this ethic, climb this ladder, and at the end of your life, if you do good enough, you'll reach the goal of your religion. Christianity is not just different to other religions in its message, it's different in its form. It's not a religion at all. It's, I'm God, and I want to be your friend, and there's nothing you have to do to earn my acceptance or approval. I just want to be your father. In fact, Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples how to pray, he said, when you begin your prayer, there's two words you've got to initiate for prayer to work. And it wasn't the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. It was actually the beginning of every prayer. If you don't understand this dynamic, no prayer you'll ever pray will be heard. Jesus, and this is actually the most sacrilegious, shocking thing Jesus ever said. It's part of why he was charged with apostasy and ended up being crucified, because Jewish people would never say something like this. He said, when you come to God, you start by saying, our Father. Meaning that the whole thing begins with the family relationship. That it's a father-child relationship. That's how Christianity works. And if that's not there, it's not Christianity. And it's powerful that our God wants that level of closeness with us, that he wants to be able to speak and communicate to our life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is my goal for you. This is the type of relationship that I want you to have with God, where you listen to his voice and he calls you by name and he leads and guides your life. He goes on to say, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And that's the point of tonight's message, is I want to teach you how you can know his voice, where you clearly recognize the voice of God in the midst of all the voices of your life. There are people in my life, when they call me, I don't even have to look at caller ID. I know instantly because of the sound of like my pastor, Pastor Barnett, the old raspy, hello, Aaron. I know immediately who it is when he calls me. Without ever looking, I recognize his voice. And you can live your life in a way where you recognize clearly the voice of God. He goes on, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So the goal tonight is to help you recognize clearly the voice of God in your life and tune out all of the wrong voices. And to be honest with you, the most defining moments of my life have been times where God has spoken to me, sometimes so clearly and so loudly that it was almost as if a billboard or a plane writing it in the sky. For example, when I got called to become a pastor, I was in college studying to be a doctor. I had a whole different career path for my life. And I remember the Sunday sitting in church. I don't even remember what the pastor was talking about that day, but it was loud and clear. It was like a megaphone speaking straight to my heart, not in an audible voice, but it was an impression, a weight that just fell on me where I knew God was saying, this is not the plan I have for your life. I've got something far different for you. And can I say, I'm so glad I heard God that day. And I obeyed and I followed his direction. I remember the time when God called me to come to this church. It was not high on my list of things that I wanted to do. If you know the story of this church, it went through a very dark season and it was not appealing at all. But there was something where I knew I had heard from God, this is where he wanted me. And I am so grateful I made that choice because to be very honest with you, this church has done far more for me than anything I have ever done for this church. I'm grateful for the times that God has spoken to me clearly, knowing it was God. And God still speaks today. And you know that, or you wouldn't have asked for this. What we're really asking for is it's not enough to know that God speaks. I want to know clearly how to recognize his voice. So what I want to do tonight is I want to point out a few things that is making it hard for you to hear God's voice and give you a couple principles to position yourself to be able to recognize God's voice clearly in your life. The first section, we're going to call it weapons of mass distraction, because that's what's going on. We God's speaking. The problem is we're so distracted, we're not hearing it. We're not in position. We're not tuned in to the right frequency because we're distracted. And one of the biggest distractions, and this is huge here in North County, so I'm so glad you're here tonight, because this is an epidemic in our community. It's called busyness. And man, we wear this like a badge of honor, don't we? Someone asks you how you're doing, and it's a sense of pride. Busy. I'm just busy. Like, I'm so busy right now with my life. And we love to say it. Well, here's the problem. When you're busy, it's very, very difficult to hear from anyone in your life, let alone God. I mean, there's times I'll be working in my office and I've got a lot on my plate and trying to get through, and I'm in the home office, and my son can be in the room next door to me. Dad. Dad, 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 dad. And I can't hear it. I'm distracted. I mean, some of you men, you have that issue with your wife, don't you? Like, we don't hear. Like, we're in the middle of something and they're speaking, we're just not hearing. Well, this is a chronic problem today. And one of the things that busyness will do is it'll create massive amounts of stress and anxiety in your life. And that's another thing that you've asked for that we'll deal with in a couple weeks. Jesus dealt with two sisters. One of them positioned herself really well. The other one got a little busy. And here's the story. It says, and she, talking about Martha, the older sister, had a sister named Mary. Now look at how Mary positioned herself. Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet. Look at where she positioned herself. She seated herself at the Lord's feet, and because of her positioning, she was able to listen to his teaching. She was able to hear him speak. And I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this, because it says, Martha, the older sister, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted. Overly occupied and too busy, she was distracted with much, and she was doing good things. Like, she's baking dinner for Jesus. Can you do anything better than that? Like, she's involved with good things. She just was missing out on the best thing. She was too busy. She was distracted. She missed one of the greatest opportunities of her life. I know so many people, they say, I really want to hear from God. I just got too many things going on in my life. The truth is, you've got to make time for God. Like, I personally, I put him in my calendar. If you look at my phone and my calendar app, that there's appointments that just say God, and I honor those appointments, and I keep those appointments. If you don't make time for God, there is no time for God. That is the truth. And I have people who, they'll call me, or they'll text me, or email me, and they'll say, Pastor, I know you're really busy, but can you make time for me? And I always stop them, and I say, wait a second, I'm not busy. Who told you I was busy? In fact, I work incredibly hard to not be busy. Like, do you realize how hard you got to work to not be busy? Like, it's hard work to not get busy. But what I've realized in my life is if I'm busy, I'm not effective. If I get busy, I can't do my primary responsibility for this church. The messages wouldn't be any good at all if I was busy doing everything for everyone, then I couldn't do the primary thing that God put me here to do. So what I've had to learn to do in my life is say no. I can't do everything that everyone wants me to do and do the one thing God created me to do. So I have to guard my life. I have to guard my schedule. And you'll go deeper with this week in your small group. This is one of the things you guys are going to discuss and talk about. That is, of course, unless you're too busy to be in a small group. I'm sorry, I couldn't pass that up. That was like an easy layup for me. I saw that in the notes. I was like, I got to say that. That was good. David puts it like this, Psalm 46, be still. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, you can't get to know God until you get still long enough. You're not going to get to know God in busyness. You got to be still to know him. Be still to connect with him. It's key. So let me put it like this. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. And that's the truth. So honor the Sabbath. One of the things I would encourage you today, if Sunday is your Sabbath, which for many of you, Sunday would be your Sabbath day once a week. For me, Sunday's not my Sabbath. It's kind of a work day for me. So I have a different Sabbath day during the week. But if Sunday's your Sabbath, don't get so preoccupied and caught up with family chores and household chores. I would encourage you to schedule a little extra time to be still and get to know God. Go on a walk, just you and God. Spend a little bit more time in prayer. If this is your Sabbath day, don't fill it up with so many things that you don't have time to really connect with God a little bit more than simply just showing up at church. Here's the second weapon of mass distraction in our life, and it's competing voices. See, here's the problem. God's speaking, but there's so many other things yelling in your life, competing for attention in your life that you can't hear. It's like being in a football stadium. If you've ever been in a crowded football stadium, if everyone's cheering, you can't hear your best friend sitting next to you. Like, your best friend can be shouting at you in a crowded stadium and you can't hear anything. But if you have ever been in an empty stadium, I remember sitting in the Rose Bowl one day when it was empty, 94,000 seats, and one of my friends was sitting on the other side of the stadium, and we could hear each other talk normally in this empty 94,000-seat stadium because of the acoustics of the bowl. But when that thing is crowded and everyone's cheering, you can't hear a thing. I'm telling you, you will hear more clearly when you learn to get rid of some of the competing voices in your life, because there's a lot of competition for God in your life. There are a lot of things competing for your time and competing for your attention. And so it gets very easy to make excuses for why you don't have time for certain things. Jesus dealt with that. Jesus said about some guys, they all alike began to make excuses. Here's why I can't be a part of a small group, and here's why I can't commit to church, and here's why I can't read my Bible in the morning, and here's why I can't spend more time in prayer, spend more time with God. The first said, I just bought a field, and I got to go see it, so please excuse me. I've got this real estate transaction coming up, and it's just taking a lot of time right now, and I don't have time because I got to focus on this. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. We got some new equipment at work, or this is an intense season at work. So, you know, I got to get through this season at work. It's taking more time and more energy. So you're just going to have to excuse me right now. And then still another said, well, I just got married, so I can't come. I got a family relationship that's gotten in the way. And for some of you, it could be marriage. I know a lot of people, it's a newborn baby. Newborn babies get in the way quicker than anything. And look, they need to be loved and they need to be cared for. But we don't sacrifice our relationship with God. Like, there is time for everything in our life. We just have to learn how to prioritize. So here's the thought. What if we began to think through the competition in our life with God? And all these things competing for our attention, what if we can't eliminate it? And can I be honest? Some of those things need to be eliminated. But if you can't eliminate it, what if we could at least restrict it to its rightful place in our life? And most of us know exactly what it is. Most of us, it's digital. It's technology, isn't it? It's our iPhone. It's our iPad. It just sucks up so much time and energy. We spend so much time on Facebook and not enough time seeking His face. They say the average 8 to 18-year-old in America today spends 7.5 hours a day on technology. I mean, let's be honest. Do you really think God has a chance? Like, do you really think God can make any type of impact in their life with all of this distraction and all of these competing voices? And social media is fine. It just needs to stay in its rightful place. And again, you'll talk about this more this week in your small group. You'll kind of go deeper on, you know, how technology has helped you, how it's hurt you, how it's enhanced your relationship with God, how it's hurt your relationship with God. It's going to be a fun discussion this week. Hebrews puts it like this: since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith, we got to get rid of everything that's slowing us down. There's all these things that are just slowing us down, especially the sin that distracts us. So we've got just stuff, and it could be good stuff in our life. It's just not the right stuff slowing us down. And then there's sin that's distracting us and holding us back. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. You have to focus on Him if you want to hear Him. Because here's the thing about Jesus. He's not going to out-yell His competition. Jesus is not going to out-yell all the competition in your life. So here's the truth. To hear God's voice, you have to turn down the world's volume. And I don't know what that means for you. It's not my place. You don't need a holy Aaron. You have a Holy Spirit. But you need to figure out what that means for you specifically. And then here's the third thing that distracts us from being able to hear clearly. It's an unprepared heart. We just have an unprepared heart. Like, we're not ready to receive. Jesus is speaking. We're just not hearing. And Jesus talked about this a lot. Jesus often would tell them, look, I'm speaking a whole lot more than you're hearing. Like, I'm saying something. It's just not landing because you're not in position to receive it. So here's the concept. You can put yourself in a position to hear clearly. Let me say it like this. What if you spent 5 to 10 minutes before you showed up to church preparing yourself to receive? Like, what if it wasn't just like rushing around, just trying to barely make it on time? What if you planned it out a little bit better where before you even left your house, you said, you know what, I'm going to put some worship on. Even before I come and we worship together as a church family, I'm just going to spend some time in worship at home. I'm just going to put some music on in the house before we even come. And, you know, I've got some stuff going on in my heart, so I'm just going to pray through this before I even get to church. Could the whole experience be different for you? Could you be receiving more from God if you came prepared, ready, expecting? Is it possible, maybe? Jesus said this in Matthew 13, when anyone hears news of the kingdom, and that's what we're doing tonight. I'm giving you news about the kingdom. This is how Christianity works. This is about God. When you hear news about the kingdom and doesn't take it in, so when you're hearing it and it's not landing, it's not going in, it just remains on the surface. Let me put it like this. If I plant a seed on this stage, you can come back a year later and nothing's going to happen. Why? Because the stage isn't prepared to receive that seed. The stage isn't the right type of soil, the right type of structure to be able to take in a seed. And that's what happens week after week as people come unprepared and they're hearing from God, but it's just on the surface. And here's the problem. So the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. So the message impacts you and you feel a little bit challenged and you feel a little bit moved, but you're not really ready to receive it. And so what happens is by the time dinner is over, you've already forgotten it. Every action item you thought you were going to put into place as a result of tonight's message, by the time dinner's over, it's gone. He's already taken it out of your heart. Robert Morris, one of my favorite pastors, says God comes to a prepared environment. God just seems to speak louder in a prepared environment, meaning you have some control in it. Paul says in Corinthians, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts. There's things that are just polluting you and things that are distracting you, both within, that's issues of the heart, and without, that's kind of technology and our iPad and busyness. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy, meaning you've got a part to play. God has a part to play, but you have a part to play. Do you want to be fit and holy? You've got some responsibility in the matter. Fit and holy as temples for the worship of God. So let me illustrate the fact that God is speaking more than most people are hearing. This is what I want to do. You're not going to go anywhere, so you don't have to worry. We're not done. But would everyone just stand with me for a moment? Everyone just stand up for a moment all across the room. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the sound team play a sound. And most of you are not going to hear the sound at all. You're not going to hear it. But I want the sound team to play a sound. And if you hear the sound, what I want you to do is sit down. So when you hear the sound, I want you to sit down. And again, don't cheat. Don't sit down because somebody next to you sit down. Be honest about it. If you hear the sound, sit down. All right, I'm gonna have them play the sound. Okay, guys. Did that just freak you out or what? Because I didn't hear anything. You guys can go ahead and be seated. I think, 15, 20 people sat down all across the room. And I don't know about you, but that freaks me out a little bit. God, I've done this 5 times now. I still haven't heard a thing. And some of you are like, did they play the sound? What you just heard was 17.4 kilohertz. And the reason that many of you did not hear the sound, here's the reason. Are you ready? It's because you're old. Now, how many of you feel encouraged for coming to church tonight? Like, aren't you glad you showed up at church tonight? You feel so much better about yourself. Here is the thing. It's actually a sound that was developed from a Scottish security firm in London. There was a very posh, upscale store in London, and all these teenage hooligans started hanging out in front of the store and scaring away their clientele. So the Scottish security firm came in and developed this sound that they call the mosquito teen repellent sound. And what they do is they play this sound outside of the store because it bothers teenagers' ears. Like, teenagers can't stand the sound. It just annoys their ears. And so all the teenagers left, but everyone that shopped at the store never heard the sound. So it just kind of worked out. But then the teenagers got smart, and they started using the sound as their ringtone so their parents wouldn't know when their phone was ringing or when they got a text message. I saw some of you teenagers, that's what these notes are for. You're like writing it down. I'm going to go find that. No, that's not what it's for. That's not at all what it's for. But isn't it an amazing thing that there was a sound, but a bunch of us couldn't hear it? See, here's the truth. The older you get, the more that you add to your life, the more dull your hearing becomes. And it gets to the point where you even begin to tune out the voice of God. You see, this is why Jesus said, unless you have the faith like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. It wasn't talking about going to heaven. He was talking about having the benefits of the Christian life here on earth. And unless you can hear like a child, unless you can tune in that hearing again, you're going to miss out on so much that God has for you. And no matter how old you become, the great thing about following Jesus is you can always become like a little child. You can tune your heart in. You can get rid of the distractions in your life. Slow down a little bit and hear all over again. Let me show you a story in the Old Testament that actually illustrates what we just did. It's all about a boy who could hear the voice of God and an older man who once could now not hear the voice anymore. It's a powerful story. It's the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. God was still speaking. The people just weren't listening anymore. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. Now, I want you to notice where Samuel is, where Samuel is positioned in this story. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He didn't recognize it. He wasn't familiar with it yet. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was actually speaking to the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say," and this is what I want to teach you to do tonight. Say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm positioned, I'm ready, I'm prepared to hear what you have to say." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." In other words, I'm about to speak again. People are about to hear my voice again. They're about to know that I am God. Three things that we see here in the life of Samuel, of how he positioned himself, where he was placed in the story, that we can learn from to position ourselves to be able to hear God's voice again, to be able to hear God speak to us again, because God's still speaking. God's still speaking. And here's number one, God speaks as we read his word. God speaks as we get into the Bible, as we read God's word. Remember I said, notice where Samuel was positioned. He was laying by the lamp, the story tells us. What is the lamp? David tells us in Psalm, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." God's word is a lamp. God's word shows us where to go with our life. It shows us the next step that we need to take. It illuminates, it breathes. It's not just a historical record or just thoughts about spiritual truth, but it's living and it's breathing. There's times where I read God's word and it's as if the words jump off the page right into my spirit, and it gives me wisdom, it gives me direction, it gives me clarity, it helps me see the next step that I'm to take. Now look, if you struggle with the Bible, what I would love for you to do, we archive all of our messages around here. April of 2016, if you go to our website, we did a four-week series called It Is Written. The entire series explains the Bible. We talk about how the Bible was put together, how it was written, the different authors. We talk about how it's historically accurate, scientifically accurate, prophetically accurate, philosophically accurate, all throughout. It's incredible. It'll help you get a passion for reading it again. And what would it look like if we made a fresh commitment to his word? What would it look like if we prioritize God's word in our life? The one-year Bible, why we as a church talk about it so often. Read the one-year Bible. 15 minutes a day will take you through the entire Bible in a year. It's powerful. It's life-changing. If you don't have 15 minutes, just read one chapter a day. Read one section a day, one phrase a day, but get God's word every day in your life. I don't have time to go further with that. Again, you'll talk about that more at your small group this week. But I start every day with the Bible, and here's why. Later on in Psalm 119, David says, "I rise before dawn. I get up before even the sun and cry for help, and I put my hope in your word." My hope is in your word. God still speaks as we read his word, as we tune in to his voice. God still speaks as we cultivate his presence, as we cultivate God's presence. Remember, he was by the ark. If you know anything about the Ark of the Covenant, remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? The Ark was always symbolic of God's presence, because in the Old Testament, the Ark is where God's presence would always reside. God would hover over the Ark. That's where the high priest would go and speak to God for the people. It's where God's presence always rested. It was the ark. Now, everything in the Old Testament is symbolic of a New Testament principle that we now live by. Water baptism, communion, all have stories in the Old Testament that teach us the symbolism of what we live out now in the New Testament. So here's the question. The ark in the Old Testament, what is it symbolic of for our New Testament life? Worship. The ark is symbolic of worship. God dwells in the worship of his people. God's presence shows up in the midst of people who worship him. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in the series, This Is That, the power of praise and worship, why we sing in church, why is there fast songs and slow songs, why is it important that I sing out loud to God, not just in my head, and raise my hands at time to him and worship him. See, the truth is God is very attracted to it. He likes it a lot, like a lot he likes it when we worship him. So if you're trying to find God, here's my advice. Worship him and he'll come find you. He'll find you when you begin to worship him. And this is critical, especially for business people and career people in our church. Because some of you are in the midst of making some very difficult decisions over your business, over your career. I got a prayer card this week from one of the businessmen in our church saying, I need prayer. I've got to make a major decision that's going to affect the direction of my career, the direction of my business, and I need to hear from God. Worship. Worship. In his presence, you get clarity. In his presence, things become clear. That's why we've got to become people of worship, because we need God to speak clearly to us, and in his presence, things become clear. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro among the earth. And he's looking not for people who just show up to church. He's looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to him. And nothing cultivates his presence like worship in your life. Genesis 3, story about Adam and Eve. It says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And this is something they did with God often. They would walk with him daily, get away from all the distractions, and just spend time in the presence of the Lord. But this verse becomes very tragic. It becomes very tragic because it says, then the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. They hid themselves from his presence. And there are too many people today in the church hiding themselves from the presence of God. And it's not because you're doing it intentionally. For many people, we're hiding ourselves unintentionally. Again, that's why we did the whole series, This Is That, because there's some beautiful principles in Scripture that many of us are staying away from because we don't understand what they are, and we think it's this, and it's actually that, and worship is one of them, and because we've kind of kept worship at an arm's length, and I'm not, you know, that's just not my personality, it's just not my style, it's just not who I am as a guy or whatever, we're missing out on things, and we're actually, what we end up doing is hiding ourselves from his presence. Jesus said in John, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship. They will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. We talk a lot about seeking God, but how about living a life where God's seeking you? Where God's looking for you, because God's like, somebody is worshiping me. Somebody, I'm going to go find, I'm going to seek this person out. I'm going to spend time with that person right there. How many know, if God has that attitude about you, things are about to turn around in your life. I'm just telling you right now, you're about to get some clarity. You're about to get some direction. You're about to get something, because if God's like, man, I'm going to find this person and spend time with them, he likes it. He likes it a lot. And then here's the third thing. God speaks as we read his word. God speaks as we cultivate his presence. God speaks as we get planted in the church. As we get planted in the church. Remember, Samuel was in the temple. The Bible says he was in the house of the Lord. He was planted in God's house. And let me say this clearly. It doesn't have to be this church. There are three or four churches in this community that I'd love to be a part of if I wasn't the pastor here, but you need to find a church and get yourself planted. planted. And planted looks a lot different than just showing up every once in a while or even showing up once a week. And only you can evaluate that. Only you can ask your heart the question, am I planted in my church or do I just show up at church? Because honestly, there's a huge difference between those two statements. There's a big difference. Dive in. Go all in. This week was step one of the growth track. Make it a priority to get through the growth track, to discover your life purpose. We launched small groups tonight. Get in one. Dive in. Go all in. You hear me say, give us 1 year of your life. Do it all. Run the game plan the way we prescribe it. And see if your life isn't different. And my promise to you, if you go all in and you do everything the way we prescribe it, if you come back to me a year later and tell me it hasn't done anything in your life, I'll leave the church with you. We'll go find another church. Because obviously we don't know what we're doing. But here's the truth. Every single person I know that's gone all in, it hasn't taken a year. It's like 2 or 3 months in. They're like, this thing has changed my life. And you'll start hearing from God a lot. Psalm 92. David says, my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. How, David? How will they flourish? How will they grow? Planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of God. Are you planted? Or are you just showing up? Samuel heard from God. He heard God's voice because he was in the house of God. I'll tell you right now, God will speak to you in the growth track. God will speak clearly to you in the growth track about your purpose, about your life direction. God will speak to you in your small group. I can't tell you how many people in our church, I've heard the same phrase over and over and over again from people. They come to me after, you know, they've been at their small group and they say, you're not going to believe it. I was in small group and one of the people in the small group was talking to me and they were telling me exactly what I needed to hear. It was as if God was speaking right through them to me. You know what the truth is? He was. He was. God will speak to you. See, what are we missing out on? See, some of us, we need clarity and we need direction, yet we're not positioned to hear it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is why we do our Freedom small groups. One of the big reasons we do Freedom is helping you see Christianity the way it was designed to be. But what that looks like is getting all the pollution out of your ears. Because again, God is speaking. Some of us have so much pollution that we can't hear. And again, I've heard from people who've been through Freedom in our church. That, you know what? Probably the number one thing I've heard from people who've gone through Freedom, when they get through the end of it, the thing that I hear more than anything else is, like, I hear God speaking to me all the time now. Like, I've never heard God talk to me, and he's talking to me all the time. Like God is helping me. Like, clarity. I've never had this level of clarity before. Could it be there's a way to position your life where you recognize God's voice? And I'm telling you, one of the keys is being planted in the church. Every good thing that's ever happened to me happened in church. I got saved in a church. Like I get to go to heaven forever when I die. Like, that's good. That happened to me in church. I got water baptized in church. I found the direction for my life in church. I met my wife, guess where? In church. So maybe the moral of the story is, maybe God is speaking. I just need to get myself in the right environment. I don't know if you ever thought about it like this, but there is a reason bananas don't grow in Alaska. It's just not the right environment to produce that type of fruit. So here's the closing thought. If you want the right fruit in your life, you want to see the right things begin to happen in your life, you've got to get yourself in the right environment. And it's not about showing up, it's about planted. It's the word planted. What does planted look like? What does planted mean? And I promise you, you get planted, you'll come back a year later and you'll say, God has spoke to me a ton this year. Listen, Lord, or speak, Your servant is listening. Would you close your eyes with me for just a moment? I think this lands with everyone here. I know it landed with me hard this week. Very, very clearly, God spoke to me that I've had a major distraction in my life, and it's not a sin issue. It's something that it's just not the best for me, to be very honest. And it's something I've wrestled with God about for a couple years. I've kind of known that He wanted me to get it out of my life, but I just, because it's not sin, I just kind of, you know, argued it away. And this week, it was like a hammer hit me in the head. God is like, it's time. I want to be close to you in a new way. And this is distracting our relationship. So I know if this message is hitting me like this, I know it's hitting you. And for some of you, it's hitting various areas. And here's what I would love to see happen tonight is just for the Holy Spirit to give you just one action step. Because again, there's a whole lot that we may need to work on based off this message. I mean, I've got a lot of things in my life, but I know what my one next step is. I know what my one action step based on this week is. Like, it's very clear to me, this is the one thing I need to do. So don't get hung up on, man, I've got like 10 things I need to do. Just ask the Holy Spirit, what is the one thing that I need to do based off the message tonight? And then I want you to talk about that with your small group this week. Because again, if you don't talk about it with your small group, it's very unlikely anything's going to happen. It's like that verse Jesus said, it's going to sit on the surface and it's going to be very, very, very easy for the devil to show up and take that one thing right out of your life because you never really verbalized it or communicated it to anybody. There's power when you talk about it. Because as soon as you talk about it with some friends, you're now accountable. Now you got people who are going to ask you, how you doing? By the way, on that little thing you talked about, how you doing with it? So now there's some accountability that comes with it. And again, this is the power of small groups. This is why God wants us in community. So let me just pray that the Holy Spirit would just kind of zero in on one next step in your life. Father, thank you for your word. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every single person here tonight and just show them one next step. For most of us, we have a lot of steps that we need to take, but just show us the first step you want us to take, the next step, the action item that we can do this week. We can begin to apply it this week in our life so that we can make progress in learning to be close to you. Learning to recognize and hear your voice and to know when you're speaking to us, for it to be clear. Because for many of us, we need to hear from you. We need your guidance. We need your direction for the sake of our kids, for the sake of our marriages, for the sake of our businesses and careers. We need guidance. And so we want to make sure our ears are tuned in, that we're listening and hearing clearly. So just show each of us what our next step is, the one action item that we can do. And then help us, God, talk about that with our small group this week so that we can really begin to see things begin to happen and move forward in our life. In the name of Jesus.